On WhatsApp, no one can see or hear your personal messages. Whether it's a voice call, message, or sending a password. To WhatsApp, it's all just this. So whether you're sharing the streaming password in the family chat or trading those late-night voice messages that could basically become a podcast, your personal messages stay between you, your friends, and your family. No one else. Not even us. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Lions and Chargers, oh my.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I could make a great case that the best division in football is represented by one of those two teams on the field in Canton, Ohio.
And it's Lance throwing a top touchdown.
Chargers!
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, five-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. The Rich Eisen Show is on the air for the first time in August 2025, right here on the Roku Sports Channel, right here on this Infinity Sports Network terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us, right here on Sirius XM Channel 375, as well as the Odyssey app and odyssey.com. We say hello to anybody out there taking in this program. We greatly appreciate it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Boy, do I love coming on the air and just watching all the phone lines light up, which means you're interested in what we're talking about and we're interested in what you're having to say. And that's exactly what we're here in business for. Tom Pelissero will join us to kick things off. Lots going on in the training camp world, certainly in terms of contracts. And Ndamukong Suh, the recent retiree, we had a great chat with Tyrann Mathieu after he hung him up. Ndamukong Suh is going to join us top of hour number two. We'll check in with him. It's a What's More Likely Friday. We'll have some of that. I've got a top five list of Terry McLaurin possible destinations, and it's not just your team. We're going to be smart about it. We're not just going to be cutesy about it. And we'll get to what's going on with Terry McLaurin in a moment. Brock Purdy on this program.
Hey.
One of my adopted children in the National Football League, along with Baker Mayfield and so many others that you guys accuse me of loving so much that they're my own children. Brock's going to be on the program in hour number three, the San Francisco 49ers quarterback. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you, sir?
Rich, we're back. We hit the over last night. Life is good, man. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
Did you really wager on the Hall of Fame game?
What are we doing?
That's a good question. What are you doing?
He has an addiction.
We're 1-0 in the season.
Brent Musburger's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Unbelievably, he hasn't been a Roselle Award winner to this point in time. I mean, the show that I do on Sundays exists. The show that I've been doing on Sundays for well over a decade exists because of, you know, what he laid down the tracks for, you know, the NFL Today back in the day while Brian Gumbel was doing his thing on NBC, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, he was on the air last night and he's reminding everyone the Lions are -1. And I heard that and I'm like, is there really a line on this? How do you even set it? It's absurd. Well, anyway, we'll talk about this game later on. And congratulations on hitting the over.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You lunatic. Yeah! You absolute lunatic. Good to see you, Jay Felly. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
TJ Jefferson. I can see it from over here. The candle's lit.
It's lit, man. I'm ready to go.
Apparently, it's lit in Oxnard, California. We'll get to that as well.
What is happening? Uh-oh. What is going on?
We'll get to that as well in a second. Listen, Terry McLaurin asked for a trade. Now, when you are in a contractual holdout, and you hold out, and then you hold in, and then you hold in, and you're back. That's supposed to, you know, get the juices flowing where I'm showing you management that's not giving me the contract that I want, not hitting the number that I want. I showed you, A, I want to stop being fined, and two, you know, I'm here, okay? So let's get things going, and things apparently not going well enough that Terry McLaurin, through his representative, we're assuming, said, I want out. Send me somewhere else. Send me to a spot that will pay me the money that I want. And interesting, we choose this photograph where he's holding up, you know, it looks like he is waving goodbye.
Yeah. Antonio Brown.
Right now. And here, listen, here's where I'll go on this. We've heard this before, okay? In terms of demanding a trade, is it good for the relationship? No. Does this mean things are going well? Of course not. Does this mean it's over? No. That it certainly does not. Let's not forget, a few years ago, there was one individual who plays at a position that gets paid the most in the National Football League and is rewarded the most, not just in terms of money, but attention and fandom and pressure and all that. We're talking about quarterback. Once upon a time was a quarterback who wanted to get paid, wanted a contract, wasn't getting it, and decided to ask for a trade, and not through a representative to the team, but used his own thumbs and press send on a tweet saying, "I want out," just as his head coach was putting his rear end in a chair in front of the media at the owners' meeting. I'm referring to Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens, and his head coach, John Harbaugh, was just sitting down in front of the media gathered to talk to the coach and the rest of the AFC coaches at their breakfast at the owners' meeting. Nothing gets more dicey and acrimonious than that. Yada, yada, yada. Lamar Jackson went nowhere. He wound up getting his contract. He is still there. He is 100% the most popular Baltimore Raven. Everyone's wearing their Lamar jerseys everywhere. It's all hunky-dory. Now we'll see if he can make the Super Bowl for the team. So keep that in your mind's eye. Just at the receiver position. It was just at this point last year, Brandon Ayuk had been asking for trades. He was Zooming with Jaden Daniels, who we keep talking about how Daniels and McLaurin are attached. Ayuk played college ball with Jaden Daniels in Arizona State before he went to LSU, won the Heisman Trophy, and became the unicorn that he is in the NFL today. Brandon Ayuk said, "I want it out," and he's FaceTiming with guys who he wanted to play with. I mean, he's putting it all out in front of everybody. As a matter of fact, there was even an entertained idea of trading him and a trading partner that got out from Niners camp involving the Steelers. Yada, yada, yada. Ayuk went nowhere. He got the contract, and obviously he got hurt, and the Niners are hoping that he's going to come back better than ever for a contract that does appear to be less than market value now, because when he didn't go to Pittsburgh, that left things open for the Steelers to say, "Hey, we'll just trade for DK Metcalf, give him the richest contract in the history of the Steelers at the position, even though he's never played a snap for us yet." And that is where maybe McLaurin is sitting here saying, "I want at least that deal, Washington." And I'll just say it again. I've not met Adam Peters. I've heard from so many people how wise and smart he is, and he comes from the Niners organization, right? And clearly, he does know what he is doing. But it would be just a massive dereliction to not figure this piece out. There's a number out there. They have to land on it. They have to. They cannot go into Jaden Daniels' second year and say, "Hey, guess what? The way you did everything last year and you went to heights that few people, other than maybe us and you and your family, thought you could get to as a rookie in the NFL. And the guy who helped in that process, probably in more ways than you even know off the field, you're gonna take that guy away from him over a money deal. We're not gonna because we can't run the risk of paying him where at age 32, 33, he's no longer, we get diminished returns." Heck with that. 2025 is here. He made the Final Four last year. To heck with that. I don't know what McLaurin's asking, but let's get close to it. Let's get close to a number that you're comfortable with and figure it out. Smart enough people involved here. All around. And I don't know the answer, obviously. I'm not involved in these negotiations. I don't know if McLaurin's overshooting and thus shooting himself in the foot contractually and negotiating. I don't know what's going on. All I know is this has to get done, and if it does not, you're going to turn to Jaden Daniels and say, hey, do it again, but with a completely different go-to guy who is as savvy as they come and as great as they come in the locker room and the community as well. I don't get it, don't understand it, but I'm also not sitting here saying, oh, this is over. It's not the NBA, okay? It's not like Durant saying I want out, because then he does. So I still think this gets done, but it doesn't look great right now. And I still feel the same way about Micah Parsons. Doesn't look great right now, but I think this is still going to get done. Our friend from, was it a Tuesday's show we had Donna Rossini on? She tweeted out that they're not talking. Second week of training camp, currently not negotiating. That's the last line of her post that started with the Parsons-Cowboys relationship has deteriorated to the point where the star pass rusher is considering drastic measures, which could include a trade request or even a declaration that he's severing his relationship with the team. Now, I don't know what that means. He's severing his relationship with the team. That means he would have to hold out. He's under contract. He can't just say, he could say I'm not playing and sit at home.
He could just go home, but you're giving up, you know, X amount of dollars this
and
year.
And if you leave, the team can send you what's called a 5-day letter or notice, at the end of which, if you're not there, they can just say you're out for the season. Nobody wants that. But if it really is down to it, I keep returning what our friend Clarence Hill of DLLS Cowboys said. And again, he's the longest tenured beat writer. He said Jerry and Micah shook hands on a deal back in March. Everybody keeps reporting that as well. And that Micah did what I would have done. Like, if I had a handshake agreement with any negotiating partner, I would then say, okay, my agent, call my representative. Right. You know, yeah. I'm not going to do the long form.
Exactly.
I'm not going to, you know, call legal.
Jerome will be getting in touch with
plus
you.
Plus, my representative needs to know what I'm shaking hands on.
Exactly.
And they're getting a percentage of my business also. Like, I mean, it's as reasonable a thing to say as anything in any negotiation. But again, it does appear that the Cowboys were not terribly happy about that, because according to all reports, Micah's representation has not been contacted by the Joneses. And here we still are.
So they think that he's just going to shake his hand and then here's the paperwork. Well, sign away your life.
I don't have a sense of it. I don't think they think that Micah Parsons is going to bust out Microsoft Word and write up his own long form contract.
Well, I think that's what they think.
No, I think what it is the numbers that they shook hand on, the terms and the dollars and the payout that they discussed, that will at least wind up in the long form that the representatives will hammer out. And I guess that's not, I don't know. I just think it's nuts. We're doing this.
You think it's nuts? Think of me and Monaco, Phil.
I feel like this is just like Groundhog Day, isn't it?
It feels like
we're waking up to I Got You, Babe, to this story every day at 6 a.m.
Playing the same tape, guys.
Right? That's what it feels like now.
I've said this every year. Dallas does something that makes me feel like Bill Murray.
Oh, and you're driving angry.
I'm sitting angry.
You know what I mean? Mm.
Guys, I have a Terry McLaurin update, though, if you want to hear something.
All right.
I checked Twitter, X. He's yet to unfollow Washington, so it really isn't that serious. He's still following Washington.
Well, didn't Trayvon Diggs unfollow everything Cowboys last night?
On Instagram, yeah.
So I'm just saying.
That's the report.
Terry has not gone to that length yet.
So. Hey, listen, you know, you always look to that sort of window on things. That's when we first realized a few Super Bowls ago something was up between Arizona and Kyler Murray.
Yep. Yeah.
So there is something real. Like, I know you're being facetious a little bit, but there is something real in that.
Yeah.
And Diggs is, I don't know what's going on with, because he's upset that they
because he didn't work out with the team like he's supposed to contractually to get some sort of a bonus. And the Cowboys are like, you worked out on your own, you know, so we're not paying you the bonus that you would have gotten had you been here.
I can understand.
Listen, this is all stuff that we're talking about because there's no football yet. We will talk about the Hall of Fame game from last night later on in the program. But Micah's going nowhere. Cowboys aren't trading him. They could force him to play on his last year of his deal and then force him to do a drastic measure, whatever that might be. I don't know what that means, severing your relationship with the team. That certainly means not being in camp. I don't know what that means. Like, is it him just needing to stamp his feet? So, or you know what I would do is I would go on the practice field with my cell phone. Since you're just biding your time anyway. I would have my agent on the phone, and I would hand the phone to Jerry Jones. I'd walk right up to him and say, David's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. Can we just at least do this, please? Let's do this. Let's do it right here. I'm a man. You're a man. I want to stay. You want me. Here's my representative. Just talk and hand him the phone and walk away. Or just say, hey, someone wants to say hi to you if you really just want to be that person. You know what I mean? Because if that's really what it needs to happen, then just do it. That's my advice to you, Micah. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Nuts. What does Tommy P think? Tom Pelissero. Where in the world is Tom Pelissero? We'll find out. He's at training camp somewhere. That's next. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from I know the way to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by Chev and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
My name is Happy Gilmore. I haven't swung a club in years.
You know what you gotta do?
Grip it and rip it.
Or... Oh, now that is some Happy Gilmore!
Everyone is talking about
the comeback kid, Happy Gilmore.
Happy knee!
Yeah, baby!
Gilmore 2, only on Netflix July 25th. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Tom Pelissero going to be checking in right now, and he'll tell us about the latest on McLaurin and also Parsons. You know what? I'm just not going to go Trey Hendrickson either. I just can't do it. I feel like that's all I'm doing. I'm just going to trifecta with the same information people, you know? At the end of the day, all three are going to get signed. They're all playing week one. How about that? How about that?
Playing where?
In their spots. Terry McLaurin will be lined up with a new contract for the Washington Commanders against the New York Giants in week one. And Trey Hendrickson will be trying to go for, screw it, Joe Flacco in week one when the Bengals are in Cleveland. And sitting at home at the crib, fresh off of trying to chase down Jalen Hurts on opening night 3 days prior, Micah Parsons will be at the crib, you know, $100,000 lighter because I guess he's giving it to CeeDee Lamb with his new contract.
Yeah, well, that was weird.
For an undisclosed purpose that we're nosy of asking CeeDee Lamb about it. How about that?
Yeah.
No one's holding out in a week one. It's all going to get done. I don't know when, but it's August 1st. I just gave you Micah September 4th. And September 7th is when the others will be playing, and this will all be handled before then.
From your lips?
Well, I mean,
to God's ears.
Well, unless you want McLaurin to fall apart.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't get done.
Because honestly, that's why I'm saying it would be derelict. That would severely handicap. I mean, sure. Can you get through with next man up? Sure. I get it. But is it the same connection?
No.
Is it the same guy that was there for Jaden Daniels and perhaps he was trying to learn the system? Gone are the days where this man was zooming in from the front seat of his car because he was on the way out to a boys trip and his time off during the summer. Those are gone. He's doing back together weekend. Now he's going all over the place. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to ask our friend, in his usual Friday spot, Tom Pelissero joining us here. Tommy P, where are you? Where are you, Tom?
Stop number 8 on the training camp tour currently in Tampa with the Buccaneers. The real feel was 104 degrees when I checked it earlier today. Oh. But I've been assured by everyone here, including Hassan Reddick a few minutes ago, this was the best feeling day that they have had out here during the course of training camp. It is hot. It is sticky. This was maybe not the best environment to test out the new longer hair.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to know.
Utilizing here. It's been 90 plus degrees everywhere I've been. This is stop number 8. And considering that I'm spending the rest of this, the following week in the Southeast, I'm probably not catching a break.
Tom Pelissero here with the weather and the traffic and the hair and the whole business.
Attaboy.
All right. Let's start.
My boys over there, too.
Okay.
Hey, Tom.
And during our pleasantries, TJ already shot a video of Chris
and he's
texting it to you and the stupidity has begun. Yeah. So let's get to the actual matters at hand. Terry McLaurin has asked for a trade. Tom, I give you the floor here. What does this mean? What happens next? Why did he feel the need to do this, do you think?
There are certain buttons, Rich, that anybody can press when you get deep into a contract negotiation that's really not moving down the tracks. For Terry McLaurin, I mean, this was apparent from the end of last season. This goes all the way back to the combine, that there was an acknowledgement that Terry McLaurin was not going to play on the roughly $20 million that he's owed in 2025. And the question was going to be, what would be the number that would get a McLaurin deal done? You can look at some of the other wide receiver contracts that have gotten done through the course of the offseason and certainly make an argument that Terry McLaurin should be somewhere in, you know, is it the $32, $34 million range? Certainly something that begins with a 3. The Commanders, who are looking at this, they're in year 2 of a new regime coming off of, you know, really impressive first season, obviously, for Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn and company. But they're also, you know, like every team, trying to, you know, think about their long-term budgeting plans and everything else. McLaurin's been one of the most consistent receivers in the NFL. 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons. He's a pillar in the community. He's a guy who's been, you know, really strong locker room presence. And he's been through a lot. I mean, it's a lot to play your whole career in Washington the way things have been going prior to last season. You know, I know that everybody likes to just say at times like this, pay the man. Well, there have been conversations about it. The Commanders would like to do an extension, just not at the same numbers that McLaurin is looking for. And so, you know, he had the holdout. Then it was essentially a hold-in. He did have a real ankle injury that he rehabbed at the end of last season. He's on the PUP list right now. And now it's a trade request. I mean, those are the buttons you can push. You try to create a little bit of calamity and chaos around the team, make them answer certain questions that, you know, might not be the thing you want to be talking about through the course of training camp. Do I anticipate that Terry McLaurin gets traded? Certainly, I would not say it's impossible, and there would be teams willing to make a Terry McLaurin trade. However, it's August. Like, we're beyond the point of where you could replace a Terry McLaurin for your team. And so this is a challenging situation, as it has been. And there's still decisions that are going to have to be made if this doesn't move in terms of a new contract here. You know, at what point does Terry McLaurin declare himself cured and gets on the field? At what point did the Commanders say, hey, you got to play on this deal? You know, all those things remain to be seen. But this was the logical next step barring a contract that really the size have not been even close on.
No, I mean, we went down the list at the top of the show of trade demands that were made, and everybody went back together and kumbaya at the end. Lamar Jackson is the biggest name that you could pretty much figure out. And Brandon Ayuk in terms of the wide receiver department is one of them as well. So, you know, what's the number? What do you think? Is it DK's number that he's shooting at? Is it Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb's number that he's shooting at? What do you think it is? Because they have to do it, Tom. They can't trade him. He's not going to play under the current deal. Like, there's a number. The number exists, Tom.
Listen, you can make an argument that Terry McLaurin, just based upon how the market moves, and some of those deals you're referring to, like Jefferson, got done over a year ago. You can make the argument that Terry McLaurin should be in that range. Just me thinking and having a general understanding of the market dynamics,
right.
I would say somewhere in the low 30s is probably where a Terry McLaurin deal gets done. And listen, you know, he was on a deal that 3 years ago was market value, but the $20 million receiver 3 years ago is now the $30 million receiver here. That's where you see these massive contracts like the one that DK Metcalf got. Still the biggest deal, even after TJ Watt signed his extension. It's still the biggest money in terms of total dollars deal in Steelers history for a guy who hadn't even played a snap there. Terry McLaurin has been through a lot. This is the first year that he would even have the same starting quarterback 2 years in a row since he got to Washington here. But there are teams that, you know, fundamentally are going to look at a 30-year-old wide receiver and say, we're just not comfortable making that investment for years to come. Which, listen, every team's got to make their own decisions. These are challenging when you're talking about third contract players. But the argument from Terry McLaurin and his agent Buddy Baker, I'm sure, would be, well, if you're not going to pay him, why not trade him? Why didn't you trade him back before the draft when you could replace him? That would have been the logical time to do it. We're still rolling through this thing. But as you mentioned, Rich, we see trade requests every year. And it's like, it's all, I don't want to say part of the playbook, but it's just, we all know the different buttons you can push. The trade demand is kind of the last ditch effort, the last thing that you can do here. And if Washington just continues to say, hey, we're not going to trade you, we want to sign you, but not at that number, then McLaurin's going to have to, you know, make some decisions. Is he going to ultimately show up, play on that number, you know, or play on an upgraded one-year contract? I don't think that he really has an interest in. Or is he going to take the best deal that he can possibly get on a multi-year contract? Those are the different things that are moving forward here. We're down to about 5 weeks before the opener, and we'll see how it shakes.
Our guy, my guy, Tom Pelissero, chiming in here from Tampa Bay Buccaneers training camp right here on the first Friday of August on the Rich Eisen Show. You talk about buttons pushing when you're looking for leverage in a contractual standoff like Terry McLaurin in Washington. Our colleague from The Athletic, Diana Russini, sent out a tweet today that Micah Parsons is considering drastic measures because the relationship has deteriorated to a certain point. And I guess the drastic measures would be leaving camp, right? And walk me through what that would look like if that is the choice Micah Parsons intends to make here.
I don't quite know what considering drastic measures means. I would think anybody who's frustrated in a contract negotiation would be considering all their options. You know, if you leave camp, then they can send you a 5-day letter and there's all kinds of different things that would happen at that point. For Micah Parsons, you know, you go all the way back to March and Jerry Jones has said it himself. He thought that they had a deal in place and it would have made Micah at the time by far the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. But Jerry also made clear that he had never actually talked to Micah Parsons' agent about that. David Mulugeta, who did over $1 billion in contracts last year. He's not a hard guy to get a hold of. You can pick up the phone and call him. It's just, it's all been a little bit odd. I know that, you know, Stephen Jones pushed back recently on the idea that, you know, they just like the media to keep talking about him. So they drag these things out. They kind of have this history of taking the maximum time possible, just like they did last year with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. So for Micah, you know, he did the things right in the offseason that they wanted him to do. Brian Schottenheimer challenged him up front. Shotty told me this back in March at the meeting. He'd come to him basically and said, like, I'm going to challenge you to be a leader. I'm going to challenge you, you know, to be more present. And Mike is always going to do his own thing. He's not going to be there through all the voluntary stuff in the spring. But he did show up. You know, he did some things in mini camp. He was on the field a little bit. He showed up to training camp, even at a time where, you know, there was nothing close in terms of a contract. Mulugeta, you know, in general has had his guys show up more hold-ins than hold-out types of situations. But at some point, all these guys who are holding in or out have to make the decision. Well, how much time do I need to get ready for the season? So if you're going to push any of those buttons, the natural next thing would be a trade request. But you know, the idea that the other part of that tweet said he's considering severing his relationship with the team. Well, I mean, good luck. You're on the 50-year option. They've got two franchise tags and they've played it out with their quarterback. Why wouldn't they do it with the pass rusher? Again, Micah has all sorts of platforms. He's got a podcast. He's not afraid to post things on X, Rich. There's any kind of number of things that he could do. If you remember back last year, CeeDee Lamb said nothing. You know, Mike has talked a few times. He talked to our Jane Slater on the Insiders last week. But, you know, CeeDee said nothing, except then Jerry made a comment about the contract negotiations, and CeeDee sent like a sly one-sentence tweet out that everyone's like, oh, man, he's firing back at Jerry here. This is just, I hate to say it, but this is the normal course of business for the Cowboys. You know, Micah can request a trade. It's something that back on Super Bowl Sunday, Ian Rappaport and I, in our story on this being the offseason of the pass rusher, which definitely has been the case.
Right.
You know, we mentioned that they had internal discussions going back to last year about, is it the right thing to keep Micah and have a really top heavy roster with Dak, CeeDee, and Micah eating up about half your salary cap, or should they trade him for a boatload of assets? But again, Rich, I come to this. If you were going to trade a Micah Parsons, you don't do it now. It's not impossible. We saw Khalil Mack get traded late, you know, in the process several years ago. We've seen other training camp types of trades, but there's very little. You could trade him for other players at the same position. That's always a possibility. I never say never on any of this, but if you were trying to maximize the value for Micah Parsons, August 1st is not the time. So we'll see what he ends up doing here. But for every lever pulled, there's a counter lever that the team could pull here, including, you know, finding Micah Parsons at a time that, you know, to this point, it does not seem like they've been doing since he showed up to camp.
My God, top of August. This is still going on. I mean, so I guess, again, and I'll be honest with you, man, I feel like it's Groundhog Day. We're talking about it every single day. Is it really just come down to it? Hey, I thought we had a handshake agreement. You wanted me to talk to your agent, who I then act like I don't know who he is, even though he's done $1 billion of deals. Is that why we're at where we're at? And then they're not negotiating at all right now?
There's a lot of reasons for it. Right. You know, in terms of,
and some must involve Micah too, I imagine, because like, that's what the Joneses keep saying as well.
Well, that was where the handshake was Micah and Jerry. So obviously at that time it seemed like, all right, we're in a good place, but that was 4 months ago.
Right. I
mean, we're in a different spot at this point.
Right.
We know this. I know I've mentioned it on the show before, Rich, but the Cowboys' history has been long deals. They want to do 5-6 year extensions, strong cash flow up front, but then they buy up those team friendly years on the back end.
Right.
Well, Mulugeta is far from the only agent who prefers to do shorter term deals. Why would you want to hit your client to sign a 6 year contract and be 30 years old when you're clamoring for a new one here, versus do, let's call it, a 4 year contract and get another bite at the apple, you know, well before you turn 30. That's also a dynamic here. You know, Jerry, just the way that he moves, the things he says publicly. I mean, you saw all kinds of people talking when Jerry made those comments about the time Micah had missed. He overstated the number of games he had missed, and talking about Dak got hurt. And, you know, anytime you're talking about these high paid guys and, well, you know, they might not even be out there playing and it's because of injury, that's something that doesn't always sit well, you know, with certain corners of the locker room either. So a lot of different things, you know, all logic would tell you Micah Parsons is a Cowboy in 2025. But what plays out in the 34 days until
right.
their opener?
Right.
We'll find out. It's still pretty early before it gets late.
And it's a good point of you making right there, Tom, before we move on, about the short-term contracts, because you want your contract to come up before you're 30. Because take a look at the ages of all the guys we've been talking about over the last few weeks. T.J. Yep. Watt turns 31 this year. Trey Hendrickson turns 31 this year. Myles Garrett turns 30. And McLaurin turns 30 in the middle of September. And they're all been the guys that we've been talking about since the Super Bowl up to this point. Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. What are you learning in Tampa? What's the scoop there? What's the word? What's the storyline? What do you got for me?
Well, the biggest news before practice that I reported is that Baker Mayfield not out here today.
Right.
He followed through, my understanding, on pass yesterday, hit his hand on a shoulder pad, which I said this to Todd Bowles. I'm like, that would be my worst fear as a head coach.
Yeah.
It's just like it's an average play and all of a sudden it's a thumb and it's cracked and it's 8 weeks. But he's like, hey, it's gotta be full contact. It's football. There's gonna be stuff that happens. But he said it's probably gonna be a day and then Baker's gonna be back out here.
Okay.
They put him through the full battery of tests yesterday. my understanding is it revealed nothing. That was precautionary. He's got a contusion. He's got a bruise on his hand. It's nothing long term. Baker's tough. They're just, you know, being very careful with him right now. I'd say, you know, beyond that, Mike Evans and Todd Bowles mentioned this too. This is one of the best he's looked and the freshest he's looked in a long time, which is pretty amazing when you're talking about a guy going into the 12th year of his career. Chris Godwin's not out here yet. He's ahead of Tristan Wirfs, Bowles told us, in terms of just being able to get back on the field, both recovering from significant injuries. But they got dudes out here, Rich, in terms of the playmakers on offense. When Emeka Ebuka, of course, is the first-round draft pick. Godwin, when he gets back. Mike Evans, Dylan McMillan, who had a really good year. Bucky Irving, certainly is somebody who's emerged. Cade Otton as well. They're going to be able to score some points. And maybe the thing they're most encouraged about here, too, is what they're seeing with some of the young players on defense. Benjamin Morrison has been everything that they've been looking for so far, coming off an injury at Notre Dame. And then they also had another corner that they drafted who's been playing in the nickel for him through the course of camp. So, you know, Jason Light, the GM, has been one of the better drafting GMs within the league. That's why they always have a very strong roster. Just traveling around to teams, Rich, I would say there's a lot of people who, you know, when the topic of the AFC South comes up, to say, you know, that's still the best roster in the division. It's just a matter of, for them, when they get into the playoffs, can they get over the hump?
All right, where else you been before I let you go? And then I'll pick and choose as to what training camps I might be interested in asking a question about before I let you go. Where else you been?
I was in Detroit on the first day. First thing you notice there is you don't hear Aaron Glenn's voice when you walk in. Still really physical. I saw like five guys get laid out in the practice. I mean, it's a classic Dan Campbell type of team. They're really encouraged about Jameson Williams. That's one of the names that kept coming up over and over, as well as the rookie receivers that they drafted. For the Bills, that was my second stop on Sunday in Rochester. They practiced through like a 20 or 30 minute complete and utter downpour, which you don't always see in the NFL. You know, Josh Allen's Josh. We got a chance to talk with him. He got married. He got a $330 million contract, but still going about his business the same way. James Cook showed up on time.
Okay.
He looks really good. He's a little bit thicker in the upper body, which they like. And so that's a guy that, you know, to keep an eye on here. Obviously, his contract situation still playing out, but he's looked really good in the early portion of camp. I did a double dip on Monday, hung out with the Commanders. Maybe the biggest thing there, besides obviously the McLaurin stuff, is defensively, they've really remodeled that whole thing. The entire secondary, there's only two guys left in the cornerback group who were even on the team last year. They thought that was a weakness. They injected talent at every level of that defense. Obviously, they've got one of the oldest rosters in the NFL. They're managing that. They just added Von Miller. Von's not doing a ton yet in terms of on the field, but I talked to Joe Witt Jr., who said Von's also, you know, in the meeting rooms, he's like running a sort of tutorial, teaching all the young guys his pass rush moves. So that alone, you know, is a bonus there. Then I rolled up to the Ravens training camp. You know, Lamar's Lamar. I got a chance. I showed Lamar a photo of the two of us together the day after he got drafted. And he lit up with a big grin on his face. It's amazing to think back to that day. And the first question to the coaches who were up there at the podium that next day, I remember, you know, clear as day, was, what position is Lamar playing? That's a pretty wild first question when you think back to this guy winning two NFL MVPs since. You know, they're loaded. They got a ton of corners, which, you know, they've got like five or six legit corners. Part of that's because in that division, especially when you're going up against the Cincinnati's, you got to be able to roll deep at that position and match up. I went to the Jets. You know, I talked with Aaron Glenn after practice. There's a lot of comparisons there to when he came in with Detroit and with Dan Campbell, the way that they turned that thing around. But I'm just telling you, Rich, like looking at that team, they got more talent across the board than the Lions did. The Lions had Jared Goff and they had a good offensive line. The Jets have, you know, the Lions didn't have anybody like Sauce. They didn't have anybody like Garrett Wilson. They didn't have anyone like Quinnen Williams. You know, how is that all going to come together? A lot of that's going to come down to Justin Fields. And so the process they're going through after he dodged, you know, the near-death experience, according to social media, when he got his toe stepped on, it's about figuring out, what does he do well? And now how do we build an offense around those things? You know, he doesn't have to play. He doesn't have to be a, you know, 70% completion guy. Just make more plays down the field. That's going to get teams out of, you know, that single high safety coverage that they play where everybody's down defending against the run. Then all of a sudden you got more shots on the outside. That's kind of the give and take, you know, that they're looking at there. And then I was in Cincinnati yesterday. Probably the best news there, Rich. Mm-hmm. It was indoor practice because it was an absolute monsoon out there. But now it's one day. All right. I don't want to overstate it. But in that one day at practice, the defense looked good. The defense has all these young, really fast dudes. Some of them are coming back from injuries, but DJ Turner had like 5 pass breakups in that practice. DJ Ivy is back from his injury. There's no Trey Henderson clearly out there yet, but Shamar Stewart there, you know, I talked to Al Golden before practice. They're not looking at this as, well, he missed the time in the spring. He's got a lot to learn. No, they're throwing it at him, and they want him to be a big factor this year. Anytime that, you know, you're breaking up passes intended for T. Higgins and Jamar Chase with Joe Burrow back there, I even said this to Joe. I'm like, I know you want to complete every pass, but aren't you kind of looking at that like, hell yeah, we need a little bit of that. He's like, no doubt. You know, there is an element of that. They all know where their shortcomings were. They were the team nobody wanted to see on offense down the stretch, and nobody did have to see them in the playoffs because the defense faltered here. We'll see how much of an improvement they make. Different scheme. They're going to be more multiple this year. I'm just telling you that one day you can see what Duke Tobin have done and company have done in terms of building, especially the speed on the back end. They're going to be really young in the secondary. Dax Hill is on his 5th-year option. He's like the veteran of that group. But if they can stay healthy here, you would hope that they're going to be better than they were a year ago.
Tom Pelissero right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Just put him in 100-degree weather, wind him up, and let him go. Near-death experience. Baby. Well, the three words he referred to Justin Fields getting his toe stepped on a couple days ago. So you're heading to where? Miami, Duval as well, I imagine?
Could have thought through this one a little bit differently here, Rich, but I am entirely in the Southeast for the rest of this trip. So I will be hitting, I saw the Bucks, I'll hit the Dolphins tomorrow, then the Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Jaguars.
Okay.
That will round out my 13 camp in 12-day tour. And it's,
love it.
It's a ton of fun, man. It's a ton of fun just watching these teams back-to-back and
kind of
being able to compare the vibe and the tempo and all these things. So
The Dolphins, again, the subject matter du jour is Tua being really open about the Tyreek Hill, I'm out of here comment, and being open about how Tyreek needed to sort of commit, you know, do some penance with his teammates. And but the thing I'm really keen about is that back end of that defense. I mean, they changed out a lot, obviously, and they're also banged up. And that's a major concern, I think, that's right now in terms of injuries that we're seeing all over the place happening.
I would say this, like, I'll have, you know, every trade and every transaction in front of me, Rich.
Right.
But I don't remember another team in my time covering this league changing as much at this stage in the year as the Dolphins have. I mean, they made 2 trades during 4th of July week, like after OTAs and minicamp and everything were over, shipping off Jalen Ramsey, who they'd been shopping for months, bringing in Minkah Fitzpatrick, also shipping off Jonnu Smith, then trading for Darren Waller. Then they get into camp and they sign Jack Jones, who frankly was available for a reason. And, you know, there's still some moving parts there. I mean, Chris Greer's been very active through the course of this offseason. But with Tyreek, remember, you know, they made the choice. We're going to trade Jalen Ramsey. I know Greer made an offhand remark about, you know, when he was asked, do you trade Tyreek too? And he said, well, if somebody wants to give me a couple ones, nobody realistically is going to give him anything close to that. He'd be lucky to get a single one for him. But they're fully proceeding as if Tyreek Hill is going to be on that team. And, you know, listen, Tyreek was through a lot last year. You know, some of it not his fault, some of it definitely his fault. And I'm not totally shocked. You know, Tua, we think of Tua as being kind of a quieter guy, but it's very apparent from the coaching staff on down, they want to try to get the best out of Tyreek. And listen, if Tyreek goes off, I know he's talking about 2,000 yards, but let's say even 1,500 yards. If he has a good year and we're not talking about other things in Tyreek Hill's life this season, he might have one more big contract in him. I mean, there's not many dudes who bring that flamethrower speed like he does. They need that guy along with Jalen Waddle, along with Darren Waller. We'll see who else they potentially might, you know, bring in as this thing rolls forward here. But they need those guys because when Tua's been healthy and the playmakers have been on the field, they have been a pretty potent offense, which will cover up some of those moving parts on the defense.
Well, when you're filling in this chair 10 days from now for a couple days, Tom, rest assured, full on air conditioning. Don't you worry. It's indoors. We're good. It's all good.
We're holding up. I got a lot of fans here right now, but this is, you know.
Nice.
Clouds. This is a pretty good shot here. I got that framed up
it's
pretty good.
Nice. You did. Tommy P.
Tom, you're on fire.
You're the best, Tom. Thanks again, brother. That's Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Framed up and looking great.
The McDonald's snack wrap is back. You brought it back. Ranch snack wrap. Spicy snack wrap. You broke the internet. For a snack Snack Wrap is back. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Gatorade is the number one proven electrolyte blend designed to hydrate better than water. So you can lose more sweat and raise your game. Gatorade, is it in you?
This November, I'll be celebrating 22 years at NFL Network. It'll be 22 years ago this November that NFL Network began. This November, 31 years ago, I will celebrate my first day on the job as a television broadcaster. Redding, California.
Dang, that's awesome.
In November of 1994 is when I went on the air. Very green. A lot of hair. Reason why I bring this up is because, you know, I said I was cleaning out my office the other day, finding a bunch of stuff that I've saved. Susie accused me of being a major pack rat. Guilty as charged. But I found this piece of paper. And what it is, it's a folded up piece of paper. You can see it's his personal on the top. And it says Richard Eisen. Okay.
Richard Eisen.
That's it right there. Okay. And so 3 months into my tenure at KRCR Television in Redding, California, the beautiful Redding Chico Market in the north state of California, my news director, Cal Hunter, pulled me inside a conference room, sat me down. I literally thought I was getting fired. Not kidding. I'm like, what's happening?
Uh-oh.
Because he starts by saying, your probationary period is over. I'm like, I had no idea there's a probation period. Like, it's secret probation. Single secret probation.
Single secret.
And he then slid this piece of paper across the table to me. And you could see it's closed with three staples, right? You could see the staples.
Okay.
And so I went like this to make sure I didn't rip the paper. He's watching me open it. And what it was, he said, it's your raise.
Hey.
And put up on the screen here, you could see the piece of paper that you could see I was making $6.50 an hour. It's a departmental correspondent signed by Cal Hunter, but you could see my new salary is blurred out. The reason why we're blurring it out is we're turning this into a special edition of Residual Rich. Hit it.
Pay that man his money.
All right. If I was making $6.50 an hour, what was my raise to Chris Brockman?
What year was this?
1995. It's 3 months into it. I started in November of 94. February of 95, February 16th of 1995. It was effective 3 days before. I had no idea.
Small station. I'm going to say you went from 650
to
675.
675. He thinks that my raise was a mere quarter.
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right.
I'm going to say Felly? 825.
825. Closest without going over, TJ Jefferson. I went from $6.50 an hour to what an hour?
So I would say $6.50.
Plus. I don't know what you're doing the math. It's all a bit. Just give me a number because we're running out of time.
$7.80.
$7.80. So you think my raise was $1.20?
Yes.
$1.30.
Yeah.
You think it was over almost $2?
I think they valued you.
It's like a 30% raise. You got to look at the.
They knew what they had.
The winner is Chris Brockman because I made from $6.50 an hour to $6.90 an hour. 40-cent an hour raise.
I mean, $6.90, nice.
Thanks, very nice. It sure was. I went out and bought myself a candy bar.
Yeah,
did you take it to the movies?
Is why I saved this piece of paper.
That's incredible.
Let's go to Dante in San Jose, California. What's up, Dante?
How are you guys doing?
What's going on in your mind, sir?
What's up, yo?
So I had some time to think about the question you asked last week about what you would give up for your favorite team to win a championship.
Okay.
And I think for a Niners Super Bowl, I think I'd give up my master's and my recent acceptance to law school.
Oh, my goodness. Whoa. Your master's degree that you earned and your recent acceptance to law school?
Yes.
Dante.
DNA, we don't need this anymore.
That's an inferno.
How old are you, Dante?
I'm 26, so I've never seen a Super Bowl win in my life.
Okay, but you've seen them make the Super Bowl. I mean, come on now, man.
They left the field in overtime with the lead.
Jeez, I mean, you're a big fan, but... What else would you do if not?
You need to afford the tickets.
Seriously, what are you going to do?
I mean, three Super Bowl losses is kind of kind of heartbreaking.
Well, before you do that, Dante, before you do that, stick around hour three. I'm interviewing Brock Purdy and see, you know, if you feel any better about your chances. Just stick with the master's degree and for the time. I think even Jed York and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and everybody there would say, it's all good. And of course, Nick Bosa would say, what's a degree? Wow. Well, I mean, you know where you went to school. Thanks for the call, Dante.
I went to Oklahoma.
No, thanks for the call, Dante. Very Dante.
That'd be good, man. Masters and law school acceptance.
First of all, I thought he would say, like, when I went to the Masters, I saved my tickets or I got a master's shirt.
No.
No, you meant a master's degree.
Literal master's degree.
Jeez. All right.
I don't know, Chris. You and I, we've seen, you know, 9 Super Bowls in our lifetime. Would you?
A lot.
Would you give up your job to see your team win one?
No.
But again, you've seen them win.
Yeah.
You've really seen them win.
Yeah.
This guy's never seen them win.
Never.
That's a chunk.
Because as I point out, the Niners have a longer Super Bowl winning drought.
You like pointing that out.
And the Cowboys.
I know.
Okay.
I know, but we don't want to lend any more details to anything, you know, south of that.
It don't matter.
Okay. I mean, it does.
Raiders.
Don't mean a thing unless you got that ring.
Raiders have made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they won the year before I was born, and I missed that one. So,
yeah,
it don't count. I mean, I'm not giving up my job, though.
Well, right.
Which
is great.
Or my 8 years of junior college.
You went to junior college for 8 years?
Yeah.
Is that where you learned remediation of mold?
No, that was afterward.
Okay.
More schooling.
Is that where you got your master's?
No, it was just the AA.
Okay, very good.
8 years for an AA.
Okay, very good.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
That's not what it is.
No.
That's not what it is. Nope. I'm glad that you're
opening up. The disrespect is real.
I thought he was sharing. My bad. Mold school.
Dude, nice mold school. I like it. Just to go back to the residual, Rich, I was, when he called me into the office.
You thought you were getting fired.
Why wouldn't I?
Your heart was just pounding, wasn't it?
I don't know. Why would you?
What, I don't
did
know.
Did you do anything?
No, I was, my on-air style was
well, I've
way
seen your
out
highlight
there.
Tape.
Like some things that I also saved, I don't know where I definitely saved them, were the call sheets after hours, because I did the 11 o'clock sports. And there was no, in a small market television station, there was nobody manning the front desk phones at 11:30 at night when I went on the air for the 11 o'clock news. So there would be an answering service and I'd get you'd get the readout the next day of some of the messages that were left. And the message was like, who is this guy? What is he doing? What is he saying? You know, there was a town called Weed, California. So whenever that school got beat, weed got smoked, weed got whacked, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I would say.
That was your stuff?
Yes. The great Anderson High School up there. Their nickname was the Cubs, and they were really good at wrestling.
Okay.
So what I did one time is I had the sweet Mike Mangus, who was the sports director, who's probably never seen anybody like me in my entire life. I had him as Vince McMangus, and I was the junkyard cub to preview a big actual wrestling match, which offended the people who really were into real wrestling. You know what I mean?
Amateur wrestling.
And they were calling me up. So I was nervous. Wow. Yeah. And he slides this across the table and makes me open it in front of him with he stapled it shut. It was just the two of us. Like, he took me in private. It was weird from start to finish. He took me in private.
Why more than one staple?
Three of them. Three. Look how ripped it is. But I saved it. And he's like, congratulations, you got a raise. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And it's like 40 cents an hour. I still haven't cracked $7 an hour. But I loved my job. And it led to obviously yada, yada, yada here.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.